worship. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee, Lord. We do have a lot to praise the Lord for. Yeah, just yesterday it kind of hit me pretty hard, a head cold or whatever you call it. Probably was always there. It just kind of finally came out, but I figured we'll just go as long as we can and then we'll just stop. You can turn to Proverbs. I would like to look at Proverbs this morning. As someone that preaches, there's always looking for titles and what should I preach on, and start studying something and, oh, that looks pretty big, put that aside, and that might be sometime later, do more time studying. And I've been reading through Proverbs some, and Proverbs, you could have 100 sermons in the book of Proverbs or more, but I'm just going to pick out, I have 8 points this morning, pick out eight, not just eight verses, but eight passages that I want to look at. Title this morning is Rules for Living, and that is actually what the word Proverbs means, rules for living. First of all, who wrote Proverbs? Can some of the children tell me who is the author of Proverbs? See Bradley, he's turning 10, the second digits. What are you, who wrote Proverbs? Who did? You wish. Yep, Solomon. Very good. And who is Solomon's dad? Some of your other children, you.
David.
Yeah, very good. And then Solomon had a son, Rehoboam. Okay, Proverbs 1, I would like to, let's get started here. Proverbs 1, I'd like to read 1 to 7. It said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And of course, throughout Proverbs here, Solomon uses knowledge and wisdom interchangeably. So sometimes he'll say knowledge and wisdom. It's not every time it means the same, but some of the time. And Solomon hands the key here to unlock the door of wisdom. And I want to just look at that. What is the key to unlock the door of wisdom? And that is in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's the key to unlock the door of wisdom. So the first one I have here, number 1, is wisdom begins with a reverent awe of God. So let's just check into this. What is the fear of the Lord? It is recognizing who God is. That's the fear of the Lord. It is showing respect to God. It's an attitude of submission and obedience to God. It's acknowledging God's authority and seeking His guidance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word in verse 3 there, it says receive, to receive the instruction. That's a little more powerful than what we would use it today, but it's to recognize the value of something and to seize or snatch it no matter the cost. And I really like the, I'm just going to turn to that, verse 23, Proverbs 23, verse 23 is a verse that we all know. It says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. A price has to be paid for anything of value. And nothing is more valuable than the fear of the Lord. Showing love and recognizing who God is, that's a lot of value that we have today. Wisdom. Number two, let's go to Proverbs 3. And this is verses 5 and 6. These verses are the most memorized verses in the Bible, these two verses here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, partial trust is not trust at all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We can follow our own understanding or trust in God who is greater than our understanding. We need to recognize that our understanding is not trustworthy. Verse 6 there, acknowledge. That in the Hebrew, that means to know Jesus intimately and personally. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Do we know Jesus personal? Talk to Jesus about our daily struggles. Can we do that? And believe that he will direct your steps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The third one I have is turn to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 17 to 19. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. What he's saying here is, first for this point here, I have kindness and justice. Number three, kindness and justice. The righteous here are kind-hearted and merciful, and they gain respect, and it also nourishes his soul there in verse 17. But the wicked are ruthless and cruel. They're gaining his only money and brings trouble to themselves, brings them death. The truly righteous result in life, pursueth evil, the wicked results in death. We can see that there in these verses. Number four, Proverbs 11, same place a little further on, verse 24 to 26. Here we have generosity. Just want to look at a few things here, what Solomon has to say on that. Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. There's a lot of things packed in these verses. So verse 24, the wise give freely and gain more. The foolish are stingy, yet they suffer need. How can that be? I believe verse 25 there, it's when we give freely, you have extra to give. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The person that gives, the liberal person that gives, you would think that normally he would have less, or he uses the word fat here, you think he'd be skinny. He's giving all his food away, he don't have enough to eat. Seeing here that he gives, but he still has extra for himself. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Why? Because it's all God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, as I look at it, it would be like a person would have a whole bunch of a corn crib or a grain bin. Back then they didn't probably have grain bins, but and all the neighbors are starving. So one neighbor has a lot of food. There's three things that he could do. The one thing he could do is hang on to it because you don't want to run out. The second thing he could do is hang on to it longer. The need will get greater and it will be worth more money. That could be a second option. The third option is sell it at a regular price. You don't need to give it away. Verse 26, it says, he can sell it. He can sell it. I think God would want us to help our neighbors and then trust him to take care of us. Number five, integrity and hard work. Proverbs 6. And a lot of us, Solomon here, a lot of things that he talks about, how would you say it? It's just good old common sense. Integrity and hard work. If you go to Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11, I would like to read. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So, diligent and hard work means you're going to gain wealth. If you're lazy and don't work, you're going to suffer poverty. Be diligent like the ant. There's one verse I wanted to read yet before I get into that. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, verse 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So the diligent hard work, you're going to gain some wealth. If you're lazy and you don't work, you're going to suffer poverty. Be diligent like the ant. Find an ant, inspect it, look at it intensely, follow it, learn about wisdom. Follow the ant's example. I don't know if you've ever seen how busy ants can be. Number one, the ant has the discipline and the diligence to work without supervision. Many people lack the work ethic of an ant. We need to work because of inner motivation rather than just outer supervision. Inner motivation. We're trying to please our boss. We're trying to please God, whatever we're doing. The ant prepares for the future. We need to work and save for the future. Learn to plan for the future. Seemed like he was pretty hard on the verse 9 and 10. Get up from your sleep. Seems Solomon didn't have just a whole lot of patience for being lazy. Quit being a slacker. As I was reading this too, I don't know if I could easily imagine this lesson being given late one morning when his son Rehoboam was a teenager. But we as parents need to begin instilling strong worth ethics in our children during their early years. Few things that I wrote down: train them to work without supervision. Show them how to be self-motivators. Teach them organization skills. Develop a routine and require them to live by a schedule. And these are things that I think are good, and I think we're trying, but it's a work in progress. Train them to perform tasks promptly and not be procrastinators. Help them to set goals. Just a few things that I believe we should work on as parents. Now, number 6, go to Proverbs 4. Verse 23. That point there, I've guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart, the word keep there. It points a picture to me of a guard or a watchman who is keenly focused on his charge. I don't know if you've ever seen a watchman. They're all eyes. From the fingertips to the toes, the heart is keeping alive. The heart is keeping you alive physically. Spiritually, the heart affects every activity of people's lives. Number 7, Proverbs 30. I have here protection. And this here, this gentleman here was Agur. And that wrote this. This wasn't Solomon here in this chapter. And his name means collector. And I believe he was a wise person that compiled and collected sayings to put in this chapter. And I thought he was humble. He used a lot of balance. Verses, let's just read. I'll go ahead and read 1 to 9. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukil. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended, who hath gathered the wind in his fist, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from the vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I believe he was realizing that either extreme here could lead him to abandon God. Too much or not enough. We see his powerful testimony. He had a lot of questions here. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the winds and the fists? I don't think he was any different than you and I would be. We have lots of questions that we don't. Of course, we know it's all God, but there's a lot of details that we don't know ourselves. He believed what he read. He believed on the one of whom he read. I believe he found refuge and salvation in him. He started out with questions. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Last of all, wisdom is valuable. Number 8. Let's turn to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 11. It says here, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. The wisdom, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Far above rubies. What we could say rubies is something that's very valuable. It could be gold, silver, or wealth. Wisdom is far better than rubies. Now turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 10. I like this verse. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. This morning, do you feel safe? If not, run to the tower. That's Jesus. Jesus is our tower. What a mighty God that we serve. There is no sin he cannot forgive. There is no prayer he cannot answer. There is no soul he cannot save. There is no problem he cannot solve. That's the God that we serve this morning. God can solve our problems. The source of all wisdom is God. As we go through Proverbs here, it makes us look really small and makes God look really big. Let's kneel for prayer.